CliffCentral.com.
Good morning, everybody. Yes. It's Tuesday morning. Look at this. We've got Lebang Hosana in her house. And we've got Mashiene Sefuti in the studio. And we got me in my house. And we got you in your house. Well, on your phone, wherever. I mean, you could be. How do we know that? How do we know people aren't on holiday? How do we know people aren't chilling at the pool in some country where it's already midday? How do we know people aren't, working already? People might have been at work for like an hour already. You know, we can't tell.
Yes. Somebody right now is sipping on a pina colada.
Yeah.
Watching the sunrise or the sunset or something while we are here.
Exactly.
So just know that that's really happening. Yep.
Correct. So what's happening, Levan?
It's freezing.
A lot is happening. I am very, very tired. Getting these kids to sleep is a nightmare. Oh my days. Oh my gosh. Like, it's that phase now where it's like, good night. Mwah. And then like within 2 minutes, everybody's in my bed. And I'm like, guys.
So then how do you get them to sleep?
Dude, the days are never the same. Some nights it's like, it's screaming and it's chaos and it's hair pulling.
Yeah.
And they cry themselves to sleep. Other nights it's like, they just walk to their room, get inside their beds themselves, and they just out. So I'm just learning like to pick up on cues of when they're in which moods. But without fail, every time it ends up with at least one of them in my bed. I just wake up with like a bunch of kids around me. I'm like, oh, when did you get here? So I'm tired. How are you guys?
Well, I mean, by comparison, I have nothing to moan about then. Like, I'm not going
to
complain.
Yeah, I have nothing to moan about.
If I moan after hearing that, then it's going to sound like I'm just really spoiled by comparison, you know?
Same, yeah.
So,
guys, enjoy your lives is what I'm saying. Enjoy your lives.
Well, I think Mash enjoys his life the most. I mean, every single time we catch up with him, he's been up to some shenanigans over the weekend. There's always like some update that we need to take in, him dating, him going to some party, you know, him really living this life. So I think I'm happy to be somewhere between. Like I'm happy to be somewhere between the domestic craziness of Lebang and the total like hedonism of Mash. Somewhere in between is where I want to be.
Hedonism.
It is hedonism.
You're nicely in the center there. That's actually a nice place to be.
It's good. Trust me. Bit of balance.
Yes. And speaking of which, speaking of my hedonism.
Yes.
This weekend was actually a very relaxed weekend. So I didn't actually go out and about. I wasn't absolutely crazy.
Okay.
So I had quite a bit of work to do. So I actually did some work. And then I caught up on some Netflix. I then went to the shops, bought some groceries. I'm still looking for some furniture as well. So I actually went just out and about to look for some stuff. What else did I do?
So far this is so boring. Lebang and I are no longer jealous of you.
It's very boring.
Oh my god.
Exactly. Yeah, went to the gym.
Okay.
Made out with my neighbor.
I think you just said you made out with your neighbor.
Made down? Come on.
You guys are onto something with that gone story, hey? You guys were onto something.
All right, let me just remind everybody, we'll do a quick synopsis here. Mash thinks it's okay to walk around the complex he lives in just a gown and slippers, nothing on underneath. He went and visited a neighbor who clearly has some idea that he might be interested in them. And he thinks this is perfectly okay. And he went there supposedly to tell them it's not going to happen, we just want to be friends, but we all know what that means. It's like you're saying one thing, but your body language and your outfit is saying something completely different.
It's doing another.
So Mash, what?
And you're not an amateur.
Absolutely. So I'm absolutely humiliated. I am.
What happened?
But you know what? I'm single, guys. I'm single. You know, I'm still looking around. Single. So I feel like I am entitled to, you know, kiss some frogs and see exactly what happens, to see exactly if this is the one, if this could be the one, because if it could be, I don't want to actually pass by the opportunity. So I thought, you know what, let me just do this. Let's see what happens. And wasn't feeling it. Yeah, on to the next one. So it was pretty fun, though. With the same neighbor who fondles you. Oh, yeah, geez.
That's what the comments, comment section is rough. Yeah. It's really rough. Cabello's not wasting any time there getting in to insult you. So that's good.
Yeah.
That's
I'm actually
good.
Avoiding the comments. Yeah. So it was long overdue, you know. Well, in my thinking, it was long overdue. And yeah, I wasn't feeling it. So I guess I was right all along.
Okay.
In friend zoning the first time around. So I'm glad, you know.
All right.
I'm still stuck on the gown thing. How are we just going to leave that?
Well,
unless you guys already did this. You did this already.
Yeah,
right?
We kind of went down this road and he doesn't see anything. He doesn't see anything wrong with it. I mean, he's like those people who go to the spa in their pajamas and slippers.
Yes,
that's what he is.
No, it's different. It's not exactly that.
Because it's in my complex. I am not leaving that complex.
Yeah, but the complex is not your private space. It's not your complex. Maybe in your house, sure. But like out there in other people's spaces, dude, you can't complain about people going to spa and checkers in their slippers or not even wearing shoes at all and complain about, hey, hygiene. If you are the same person who's going to roll over, put on your gown and go into like the public spaces of the complex, I would literally like call up management on your ass, dude. I would be like,
yeah, you
hey,
see,
management,
me too.
There's a dude here.
Bang.
I swear to God, I would. That is just disgusting. Dude, I've got children. Now my kids must just be exposed to just a homeboy in his gown there.
Yeah.
Just his things hanging.
Yeah.
Twat, things slapping your thighs. No, sir. Management.
That's the sound.
Management.
What's the sound?
Twat.
Oh, my goodness. See? Oh, that's a compliment.
All right. Well, we got to get to a few things. While we're talking about this, there is a nudity warning in an anti-bullying move for TV work from one of the unions. Now, this sounds complicated. It comes from the UK. Let me just read this to you, and you try and figure out what's actually going on here. All right? Because this is not a headline that anyone would go, huh? Straight away, get it. Okay, so it's from the BBC. It says, Equity has committed to ensuring actors are given nudity warnings as a part of a move against bullying, harassment, and inappropriate behavior in TV. So, apparently, this is a move towards a culture in which everyone working in the TV industry feels safe to call out unacceptable behavior, and nobody's being challenged. Nobody's above being challenged, rather. No one is untouchable. So, in other words, if you're an actor or an actress, before, famously, there are lots and lots of TV and movie actors and actresses who didn't know that they'd have to get naked for a part, and they only found out when they read the script of episode 5 or 6 or 7 that now we have to take our clothes off. And now, apparently, according to this, because people are terribly concerned that this is a sort of bullying, that they have to, you know. I mean, I don't understand why you would go into acting. This is not a serious job. Like, I'm sorry if I'm going to upset actors or if there's going to be some. Hold on. It's not a real job. It's not a serious job. There's enormous competition. No, really. And anyone can pretend for a living. Pretending is what children are good at. And just hold on. I'll get to the good shit just now because I do have something nice to say about actors. But mostly you spend your life pretending. And if you're going to pretend, you better also have some other quality characteristics. Like you better be willing to get naked. You better be willing to look as best as you can. You can't let yourself go. Because otherwise, you're just pretending alongside other average people who are pretending. Now, of course, there's a small smattering of real talent on the top of all that pretending business. There are some people in acting who have a real skill to be able to embody a character and inhabit a story and really make it great. And we all know who these actors are. You know, they're the greats. There are the Denzel Washingtons and the Jack Nicholsons and those kinds of people who are just like incredible at what they do. And I just think if you're a new actor or you're a young actor, you can't start laying down the law about I will this and I won't that when it's your first job. If they need you to be an extra in the background with your titties out, That's part of the job. Otherwise, you don't have to be an actor. You could become something useful in society, like a teacher.
Gareth, I don't think that's what the purpose of this thing is, right? I think the purpose of this thing is just to protect the actor from situations when you get into studio and you guys are recording or whatever, you get on set and you had no clue about the nudity that was going to happen. The director goes, he probably just like smacks your bum quickly and he goes, okay, well, it's your turn now. Just take everything off. Let's go.
Lebang, like, what the hell? Lebang, this is not the 1940s in Hollywood. Slaps your bum.
I was giving you some context, but it happens. Whether you're the first time actor or you are one of these legends.
They're already covered by this stuff. They, like anyone else who does a job, actors are also covered by the sexual harassment rules and everything. This is now another. See, they think they deserve special treatment. That's the problem.
I disagree.
They think they're special.
Harvey Weinstein, Gareth, who was getting away with this stuff for 20 plus years, and that wasn't the 90s anymore. This was now moving over into the 2000s, and he was still at it. And the actors were protected.
After Harvey Weinstein,
I think this is cool.
No one's taking a chance with sexual harassment on the set of a movie or a TV show.
Yes.
No one will, because the cost is going to be the end of your career. If you're a creepy director or producer or something, you can't afford to make that mistake. So that's already you're already covered there, because I can promise you there is no way anyone's going to take that chance in Hollywood anymore, which is part of the reason, frankly, that Hollywood's become so boring, if you ask me. I'm not saying I want sexual harassment, but I think these days everybody's so careful and so safe, and it's become so sanitary in Hollywood, which always used to be a nest of vipers, you know? Hollywood used to be a dirty, filthy place, and part of the reason that it had such appeal is that everyone from everywhere in the world who wanted to be an actor had to go to Hollywood. They had to make friends. They had to learn how to influence people. They sometimes had to put out. Famously, our own Charlize Theron had to do that. Remember? She had to impress someone in a bank, for heaven's sake. So, I'm not in favor of sexual harassment. All I'm saying is, if you're an actor, occasionally, as an actor or actress, you will need to take off your clothes. You will sometimes need to put on very odd makeup. You will sometimes need to wear stupid costumes. You will have to do whatever the production needs you to do in order to make it happen. If you don't want to do that, go and become like a stage actor, do Shakespearean stuff. If you really love the craft of acting, go and do that stuff. Because we know what gets ratings on television, right? We know that the shows that got the ratings are the shows where people are running around in skimpy swimwear or whatever. That's how it works.
Absolutely.
Don't blame me. I'm not the one who's saying that that's what has to happen. I'm just telling you that's what people watch.
And I'm so surprised by this, because I've always heard stories of especially huge production movies. For example, your 50 Shades of Grey, 50 Shades Darker. Right. And we'd always hear about how... is it Dakota Johnson, the actress, was actually negotiating her contract, because they'd actually mentioned, like, next movie, she has to go full frontal nude. I mean, even the Christian Grey guy has to go full frontal nude. So it'll be all up in the news. Mesh, so I'm surprised
I never watched 50 Shades. I never read the book. It was very popular with women. Very, very popular with women. Now, how can you, as Dakota Johnson, how can you even audition for that part and think there's not going to be sex scenes? It's called 50 Shades of Grey. It's about this guy who has this fetish thing going on and these women who fall in love with him and or have sex with him. That's the whole story. What do you think it's going to be? A situation where you could walk around in a nice little dress the whole time? What's the movie about, you idiot? I mean, what is she? Is she completely stupid?
I think they know what they're getting themselves into, Gareth. The thing here is when they get caught off guard, right? Because most of the time they get told one thing in the contract. The contract will say, okay, cool, we just want to see some titties, and that's cool. And then she's like, that's cool. Boom, boom, boom. She signs. When she's on set, they go, oh, no, didn't your agent tell you? You have to go the full thing. You want to see it all.
Exactly.
That's what this is. Okay. And you see it all the way from the audition stage. Even when you're auditioning for these parts, it's very slimy.
I think actors and actresses get outsized amounts of sympathy and attention because they're well known and they do a job that is at the very high end of, like, it's not that much work. You have to memorize lines. No.
Gareth, no.
No, it isn't.
Guys, acting is hard. Acting is hard. Acting is not the kind of thing where you just get there and you practice the lines and you say it.
Totally. It's not hard.
Guys, that thing is work, bro. That thing is work.
It's not work.
As you're saying, embodying a character.
It sounds like it's easy to pretend. Please.
Becoming another person.
When you and I go into a meeting, Nebang, you have to embody a character of someone who's selling something. Same as me. When you and I do a road show or we are meeting for the first time with someone who we need to do some business with or whatever, we're also embodying a character. When you're a mom, you're embodying a character. Mm. That's not hard. That's just part of your life. No one's paying you for that shit.
We're basically serving, right? Is our job not entertainment at the end of the day? While we're on these road shows, while we're in the meetings, we're entertaining, right? We're trying to get the client to be like, yeah, you know what? I can buy into this.
Sure.
That's exactly what that is. It's the same thing. You're serving the audience. I think that's, it's not something you just wake up and you know how to do. Like, oh, you know what?
I reckon.
That's not overnight.
You have to have that thing, Gareth. And that's why we're in the positions that we're in.
I also think, I just think that the world of acting in Hollywood in particular is a dirty, filthy place. And this is part of the game in Hollywood. So if you don't want to be in that game, then go and become a social worker or go and do nursing or teaching or become someone who consults to financial, you know, businesses or something like that. If you don't like acting, the only difficult decision you're ever going to have to make is, am I going to take my clothes off? That's the only tough decision an actor will ever have to make. All the other decisions are pretend, let's pretend today. It's bullshit. I'm sorry, I don't have a whole lot of sympathy.
I would love, like, if I had the opportunity to, you know, to play a really big part on a big production, I definitely would take it. I've only played a few little parts. Most of my high school, I did theater, and it was amazing. But at the core of it, it was not easy. And what I'm not going to do is just sit and be like, yeah, you know what, you guys are absolutely right. It is that simple. There's a lot of competition there, yes, because on the other end of it, it just kind of looks easy, right? It looks like, oh, all you do is just get up there, look good, look nice, get all this money, and just talk. And it's not that. I mean, if you go to theaters and you watch people performing, you see the actual beauty in it, you know? But I wouldn't, if you don't, hey, man,
you'd have to hold a gun to my head to make me go to a theater.
Somebody get out the rifle. Let's get the rifle.
All right, so Busted Sana says, Gareth, how do you identify great actors, in your words, yet chastise the craft? What exactly are you talking about? Okay, so Busted Sana, there are jobs where we absolutely have to have those people. There are certain jobs in society. We need engineers, teachers, doctors. We need nurses. We need the kind of people who look after children at a preschool, for example. Those are jobs that absolutely are required by society, right? They are essential. Acting is a luxury job. It's kind of like being a radio guy or my job's a luxury job. No one's sitting there going, like, the whole of society's going to collapse if Gareth and Nebang and Mash aren't on this morning. I'm going to be humped. So let me take this where you want me to go, Busted Sana. I don't think my job, doing this show every day, or even the other things I've done in entertainment, are essential to a functioning society. They are luxury jobs. The same goes for acting. It is a luxury job. Now you could argue, oh well, you know, you perform a role in society, you do this, you do that, it's kind of important that you're there, but it's still a luxury job. Like, no one's going, oh my God, during the zombie apocalypse, we need the radio DJ.
Gareth, you remember, like, and you just correct me if I'm wrong here, but after COVID, like, people clung onto entertainers. People only had the radio hosts, the movie stars, the things that they couldn't find outside. And I'm not saying you're wrong. You're right in that it's not essential, but it definitely plays its part. It has its position and its role. So if society does get broken down to the, you know, to the functioning parts of it, sure, radio hosts won't be there. We'll be at the bottom of the barrel. We'll take that. But after COVID and seeing how lit it got, we were the only thing that people had in terms of entertainment.
I'm not saying you don't need us at all. But if you're going to be roll calling and you can only pick 15 people for your zombie apocalypse team, it's not going to include the entertainer. No one needs that person.
You'll be surprised. Do you guys remember the end of Titanic? When the ship was sinking, there were those four violinists. They were the real stars of that. They were the stars. They were the Beyoncés of Titanic. Because those guys weren't even willing to. They were like, you know what? We'll play until the last man dies. Because while these people are dying, let them at least die with some music.
With some nice music. I mean? Yeah.
Exactly.
Lindy Ntuli says, like and subscribe. Bastana says, so when you say Denzel Washington is a great actor, what exactly are you saying? I'm saying in the craft of acting, he and a few other people who we can all name because they're very famous and they're good at what they do, those people are great at acting. That's what I'm saying. I mean, it's not like there's no, I'm not hiding the ball here, but acting is not as important as engineering. It just isn't.
Let's just be grateful that Gareth isn't interested in taking up that career. That's all. Let's just.
But also, you know, acting is one of the most oldest careers. Think about it, from Shakespeare, it has always been so complex. It has actually evolved so much over time. Only men used to act in the beginning.
Nobody took actors seriously in those days, and now we take them much too seriously.
And clearly, Gareth still doesn't.
No, but here's the thing, right? Like, if you watch the whole of human history, of course the arts are extremely important. They are the repositories of culture. I mean, we've had countless comedians on the show, and I always say to them, I love what you do. I think it's an amazing skill. I think it's an amazing talent. You make people laugh. You make people feel better. Same goes for actors, right? And that's important, but it's not as important as some other jobs. So again, I'm not looking to, I'm not saying it's completely stupid and we should just burn it. And we should dispense with it and it has no role in society. But I'm also not saying it's as important as engineering or as scientific research or medicine or child rearing. Those are far more important skills that we need in society than someone who pretends on a stage for a living. Okay, it's that person. And as Parallel Parking says, acting and prostitution are the oldest professions. They are connected. In fact, actors and prostitutes were often the same thing. A lot of actors were prostitutes to make ends meet because acting never pays, except now. Suddenly, somewhere around the year 1930 until now. Suddenly, acting is, if you get to the very top, like the Denzels, then you earn
That's
big
when you start getting
money.
Paid, yeah. Yes. But you're Marilyn Monroe. Even if you're still like in the middle, it's very like crappy, especially in South Africa. Well, for as far as I know, being an actor in South Africa is just bollocks.
There's no
like,
budget.
It's nonsense.
Yeah.
There's no budgets. There's
nothing. Make your money on socials.
Every actor and actress in South Africa, if you want a regular job, and we have some good actors in this country, right? We really do.
To have
regular money to pay your bills, you have to be in soap operas and things like that. And no actor in the world goes, I want to be in the soap opera, and that's enough for me. That's the top of that. Obviously not. But in this country, those are the only things that pay regularly. And that tells your whole story. True. So don't blame me. I'm not the one who made the rules. I'm not the one who ordered society on these principles. That's the way it works. And you can get cross with me because I'm saying it, but I didn't make it this way. And I don't have an axe to grind against actors, except that I do think they're a little bit coddled. And this whole story just proves, again, they want special rules for them because it's not enough for them to just go by the rules everyone else does. You think that the tea lady who gets sexually harassed by her creep of a boss, you think she doesn't want like a special provision as well? No, she's covered by the normal laws. And so why do actors get like special? Well, now there's an anti-bullying thing just for actors. You know why? Because they're attention seeking.
No, but I do understand that also the whole anti-bullying thing as well. So, I mean, as somebody who grew up watching the likes of Generations, we live in a country where people cannot disassociate your character on TV from who you are in person.
Yeah.
And they become so enveloped and involved in that. I remember years ago, there was a character on Generations, not the legacy, the original Generations, the OG. Ketiwe. I forgot her name in real life, but people hated her in real life. This woman was being attacked. It was actually all over the newspapers. She goes to the shop, she gets attacked. She gets attacked. People are throwing tomatoes.
But that
at
just
her
shows you.
Like
so,
that, all
so you
because
think,
of her character.
So we think actors are like unnecessary in society. Imagine how useless the people who think actors are the real people.
Yeah, they sound like
they, you know, they are the problem.
They think they're their character. I mean, those people are really stupid. I mean, those people are the ones that you will choose even after the actors if you had to make those decisions.
Absolutely.
So yeah. Obviously, you know, there are gradations to this. But DK says Gareth skipped lawyers. Yeah, because I don't really think lawyers are – I mean, no one – if it's a situation of life and death and you're in the Wild West – and there are no rules, because that's always when you figure out, okay, the most essential people, the ones who can build a fort or a bridge or a some kind of stockade or something, right? Or someone who can find running water and purify it, or someone. I always think like those are the things that before you can have complicated things in society, you need to have those things in place: water, power. Mm-hmm. You need to have a way to defend yourself. You need to have a warm place to sleep. You know, those kinds of things, the basic Maslow's hierarchy things. The people who can make those things happen are the first port of call. Then you get all the different other things. Now, lawyers come much further. They're not as far down as actors. I still think lawyers are probably more necessary than actors, but only by a little bit. So I know I'm pissing off the lawyers as well. Now they're going to hate me as well, which is fine. Ay, ay, ay. So we've started a serious argument here. First of all, someone says no one came close to Sherelle de Villiers from Isidingo. Poor Michelle Boertes had a tough time. Yeah, people hate.
Oh yeah, she suffered. You
are attacking her.
She couldn't even walk in the mall.
You were thinking of Ntsiki, who was Pamela Nomvet.
Yes, I did say Ntsiki, the one with the dreadlocks. Mm. Like, she had it rough, because she was like a super villain of underage.
She was drugging her mother in her tea, right?
That's it.
She was that one.
Yep. She was doing way too much, especially for the black community. The black community was like, what? Where now? Like, she just, she did not survive any of that. Mm-mm. In fact, she stopped acting for a while. She was traumatized.
She did. You're right.
Like, years later. Yeah.
Mm.
So, apparently, you, Mash, and Simpiwe are finally getting closer to, and I mean, it's almost the end of August, and you did promise us, you and Simpiwe, I'll talk to her about this tomorrow, but I want to hear your side of the story quickly. Are we any closer to getting this show of yours?
Yes, so we have been actually working very hard behind the scenes. Despite the show not being out yet, we've been working very hard, and it's actually launching next week Friday. It's launching next week Friday. And basically,
praise the Lord. You know, Leban, can you imagine if you and I did so much preparation and changing our mind and rewriting, coming up with a new name?
If we'd get nothing done.
We certainly wouldn't do five shows a week, which we currently do. I mean, sometimes you just have to do. What is the famous line that was said by Jesus? Wasn't it shit or get off the pot? Didn't he say that?
Definitely wasn't Jesus.
Right. Oh, it wasn't Jesus. Oh, it was Jesus. Was it Buddha?
Mash, like Jesus.
It was Jesu. Not Jesus, Jesu. You just need to go, dude. Just go. Like, just switch on the microphone and go. Like, that's step one. You'll see the rest later, dog. You'll audit when you need to audit. But
I'm
super excited.
Look at this. People are bringing up old soap stars that were hated. Stefano De Mira from Days of Our Lives. Yes, like that guy, says Tracy. Basitsana says, what about Brooke Logan on Bold and the Beautiful also?
Ooh, she is the definition of baddie. Mm. The queen of bad bitch. Come through.
She's my role model.
Of course.
Oh, okay. You agreed to that a bit too quick.
You see, this is where, like, Basitsana has a point, right? Like, you see, we start talking about actors, we get much more excited than if we're talking about lawyers. No one's excited about talking about lawyers. But if you talk about these characters from soap operas, people are excited. They go, oh, that reminds me of this. It reminds me of that time in my life when I was thinking of this one. I mean, it's all relative. Let's not mess around.
Yes.
To some people, those things are massively important. I reckon South Africa, because you know, soap operas are still the most popular thing on TV in this country, right? And by a long way, like this, the next closest thing, by a long way, the next closest thing is like the news. And anywhere else, I suppose, you know, the news may be closer to soap operas. We love them in this country. Why? Because I think for so many people, it's a way to escape. Mm-hmm. It's about like turning on the TV and just doing this, just getting out of your actual world because, oh, okay, I'm away from work now. I can relax, can watch this nonsense, and I can like vicariously live through other people's lives. And I think
and I remember, I mean, I used to watch Generations mostly as a child just to escape how shitty my life was. Because how shitty their lives were.
That's entertainment. My life that's exactly it. Yeah. That's the backbone of entertainment. I was actually telling my partner the other day that, you know, there's this complaint that why do they keep putting the same type of black TV shows on, like, Bomboja Love or what? It's always, like, black people struggling and blah, blah, blah. It's because you sit there and you watch these people's lives, so you feel better about yourselves.
Yeah.
You keep going back week in and week out so that you can say, phew, well, at least I don't have to go through that. And then you stand up and you continue with your life. You'll make sure you come back every single week to watch that same thing. It's pretty sucky, but it's entertainment, and we all kind of fall for it. And now it's just evolved into social media. It's just the same shit, you know, over and over again.
Speaking of social media, we've got one of the stories this morning is that Zuckerberg is unveiling a brand new metaverse. He has decided to change the metaverse avatar that he was using after being mocked for his creepy dead-eyed version. Do you want to see what it looks like? Let me show you this.
Yes.
This is the new Mark Zuckerberg avatar. I know you've been waiting for this your whole life long. This is so
like
exciting.
I'm so excited about this. Thank you so much, guys. How did you know it?
Okay, so people were criticizing him because they said your avatar is creepy, but it's actually Mark Zuckerberg that's creepy, if you ask me. So here is his new avatar. He also on Friday promised a major graphics update for Horizon Worlds, Metaverse's platform, which has been criticized for its budget feel. Oof. When someone says that's got a budget feel, that's never a good thing, right? On Monday, he shared his Facebook profile that Horizon Worlds had launched in France and Spain and posted a picture of the Zuckerberg avatar standing in front of the Eiffel Tower. Social media users were quick to deride the image, with some likening the graphics to 1990s video games like Zelda and Quake and 2007's Second Life. In an Instagram post on Friday featuring his new look avatar, Zuckerberg admitted the avatar he posted on Monday was basic and said it had been generated quickly to celebrate France and Spain and the launch there. So here's the new one. You want to see it? This is so exciting. I know you can't wait. Here's the new Zuckerberg on the right and the old one on the left.
Drum roll. Oh my gosh.
That's it?
That's it.
It's very accurate. It's actually cool. The one on the left is quite accurate.
The one
it's
on the left. Like him. The creepy one.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
I think they're more like a lizard person.
A lizard person.
he really is, though.
Oh, but, mesh.
Wait,
I like
Gareth. Those graphics in the background, is that the graphics of the metaverse thing?
Well,
is that it?
Yeah, I think that's it. It looks terrible, right?
Oh my gosh.
So if that's the graphics, there's a story I actually was following last year, of a woman who actually joined the metaverse. And then as soon as she joined the platform, she got gang raped on the platform. Jesus. So like other people's avatars just gang raped her on the screen.
That's great.
And they actually made a whole little documentary about her. And she was like crying, saying, I just signed up and I just had to witness that. And
you know
just couldn't look away.
She shows you
up. I was like, just turn off the screen. Turn off. She was crying.
You can give humans a brand.
Just log out.
Log out. Yeah, I agree with LeBang on that. But you know, you can give humans a whole new place to be themselves, and they'll
still find a way to fuck it up.
Absolutely. So I good luck to Mark Zuckerberg and the rest of them. I will obviously take an interest in this metaverse thing. I think it's interesting to watch where humans are going here. It's not somewhere I will spend a lot of my time. I can promise you that. Here are two stories about our power, because you know this is our obsession at the moment.
What power?
Yeah,
what power?
Sorry, quite right. I can't argue with that. So Eskom is warned, stage 2 load shedding could be implemented at short notice between 4 p.m. and midnight for the rest of this week. Short notice, so just get
as
ready.
As usual.
They're just going to switch it off. This is due to a shortage of generation capacity. Have we heard that before? Owing to breakdowns and delays in returning some generating units to service. These guys cannot do anything properly. Mm-hmm. Anything.
Nothing.
These guys are so useless.
Yeah.
that at this point now, I would prefer actors running Eskom.
Oh, please. Mm.
At least you'll get a good performance out of it, because at this stage, we ain't getting nothing.
Mm. Right, correct.
I mean, we're more surprised when we have electricity nowadays.
Right. So, so this is what the spokesperson for Eskom said. The breakdown of two generation units at Arno, which is in Mpumalanga, one each at Camden and Letabo power stations, during the past 24 hours, and the delay in returning a generating unit to service at Kendall, Komati, and two units at Tutuka. So, in other words, they don't have anything working properly. Not even one of the stations is working properly at the moment. He said over the weekend. He said over the weekend, Eskom teams had returned to service two generating units at Kendall Power Station and a unit each at Hendrina, Kusile, and Tutuka. We currently have. And then they go into the numbers. 4,872 megawatts on planned maintenance. There's another 13,000 megawatts of capacity unavailable due to breakdowns, blah, 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 blah. It's just stupid.
It's the same stuff, just in a different week. You're on your own, basically.
Incompetent.
Who's the guy with the main switch? There's a guy there at Eskom who's got the minerals. He's the guy who's busy with the up, down. That's the guy we need to know.
No,
the person
because
who's just making these decisions.
It sounds to me like it's at every level. It's not just that if there's one guy in the main control room who we'll never know the name of, who's deciding, oh, okay, that neighborhood gets no electricity, this one does. But at every level, it sounds like they're just so out of their depth.
Yeah, I mean, the rot starts at the top. If the top is shitty, there's no way in any, even the employees at the very bottom who've never interacted with people at the top, there's no way they're going to be doing any sort of better job.
Mm-mm.
Yep.
It's impossible.
So on the same note, according to an energy analyst called Hartmut Winkler, he says adding more nuclear power to South Africa's under pressure grid will not solve the energy crisis. He spoke from the University of Johannesburg. A new nuclear plant would take too long to build and it would cost too much to be a viable option. Expanding the life of Kuberg is still a better option. He said, this is the professor that they asked, he said, I don't think it's a good idea to build anything new. We're looking at a time period of 10 years construction, and then we'll be looking at how to finance the cost of that, which will be high. He said expanding the life of Kuberg would be a more viable option than passing the cost on to future generations. And remember, Kuberg's been operating since 1984. We need money for many things, and I think a nuclear plant sounds like too much of a vanity project, and there are very few places elsewhere in the world where they're still building nuclear plants. Its shortfalls include refurbishment and upgrade, which will allow it to operate for another 20 years in the case of Kuberg. But he said it was clear that continuing to pursue nuclear is foolhardy. South Africa should be following the global trend. So he wants, this guy's supposed to be a professor, and he wants us to follow solar and wind. Yeah.
I mean, like, if we can't manage what we already have, when are we even going to get there? And I don't know if the answer is to just like, okay, well, let's just keep up with the global. We're going to even botch that. Even that we're going to botch it. No.
Because the maintenance of solar and wind is much more hectic than of actually coal stations. It's actually a slightly more hectic.
I don't want to have this discussion about nuclear versus solar and wind. The numbers are in. You need to build a ton of solar and wind infrastructure, which we don't have, which then
we
has to be managed.
Don't have it.
I mean, imagine if you have 400 turbines running on a piece of desert where there's a lot of wind in South Africa. And we do have, you know, we have solar, we have lots of. First of all, we have to build those panels, which costs money and which requires minerals that have to be mined out of the earth. Then we need to store that energy somewhere. But with wind and solar, imagine you have 400 turbines. And let's say 30 of them have a screw loose, which is totally possible. How many of those are going to be out of commission every time
especially
they try to switch
South
on?
Africa.
Right. And do you think it's going to generate nearly as much as a coal-fired power station? No. So I'm sorry, Prof. You are not helping the situation at all. And of course, you sound like someone who's swallowed all the green pills. That's what it sounds like. You like that story. That's your story. You're sticking to it. You want to know who's funding your research at the university, and we may just discover where all of this information actually comes from. All right, the Eastern Cape. What do we know about the Eastern Cape? Be nice.
No,
be nice.
Be
look,
nice.
It's beautiful.
That's a tough there's request. There's a lot of
good things to look at, but the corruption level.
Higher than anywhere, right? I mean, like at the moment, if you're in the Eastern Cape, forget about it. There's no such thing as service delivery, right?
Yeah, it's just always shaking in the Eastern Cape. Every single week, it's a new story. The minister of this, that in the Eastern Cape. Is it a corruption court? Yes.
And we never hear anything good.
Okay,
we never hear anything good.
Here's something good. All right, here's something good. But it has nothing to do with the Eastern Cape. It's a chance for their government to try to look like they're doing something. Are you ready? So
let's hear it.
6 Eastern Cape Banyana Banyana players will each get 100,000 rand from the government of the Eastern Cape. That is for winning the WAFCON competition in Morocco, which you remember, Lebang, I told you I did not watch. And you also admitted you did not watch, even though you felt that they had done us proud. Remember?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes.
So 6 Eastern Cape Banyana Banyana players who were part of that national soccer team who won in Morocco will get 100,000 rand each from the Eastern Cape government. Premier Oscar Mabuyane said that made the announcement at the Eastern Cape Sports and Recreation Awards in Gqeberha in the weekend. The 6 were awarded as top achievers during a red carpet event held at the Boardwalk and Casino Hotel.
That is beautiful.
Congratulations to them. 100,000 rand each.
Well,
that is beautiful.
You think it's beautiful, Mash? Now we know how easy it is to distract you with some bullshit.
Yeah, it is very easy.
So
but then we're also
so you're okay.
Are those 6 players from Eastern Cape?
Yes,
they're all from Eastern
yes,
Cape.
Yes.
Okay.
So these politicians work on the basis of fooling people like you, Mash, because I noticed Lebang didn't immediately go, and Lebang is a supporter of Banyana Banyana, at least in name. She says, like, I support those ladies. Good for them. They won. You did. You said that. You don't watch them, but you said that, right?
Mm.
So you went quiet, Lebang, which is the smart thing to do here, because Mash went, oh, that's beautiful.
So I fell for it.
So as far as you're concerned, this premier of the Eastern Cape, who's done nothing for the people of the province that he's in charge of, has distracted you by giving some of our money, our public money, your money, my money, and everybody else who's listening's money, that is not his to give. It's not his job to hand out gifts to people. That's not why he was elected. That's not what the people of the Eastern Cape want. But he's giving out free money because that, he thinks, will make him look better. And it worked with you, Mash. You went, oh, that's beautiful.
It worked with me because he had the opportunity. He had the opportunity to actually fix things there in the Eastern Cape, to actually correct where things have gone south.
Mm-hmm.
And he never did that. So
instead,
I believe that if you had the opportunity and didn't do it, you're not going to do it anyways. So if giving Banyana Banyana, these 6 players, 100,000 rand each, is his method of actually getting, or rather showing good faith to the community, then be it, because not like he was doing anything else to begin with.
Hmm. Lebang, you want to take?
He was eating the money behind our backs anyway. Now he's just eating it in front of us. I mean, at least he's doing.
Listen,
I'd rather these 6 women have the money.
I would
than
have
him just eating
I would have
the scenes.
I would have no problem with the government, and in particular, how about Sascoc or SAFA? How about them giving the money to these women, because they are actually in a position.
Money.
I don't think they did. Mm. I think this is so. What is this over and above then? So in other words,
yes,
those
it's,
girls
it's
from the
yes,
so the girls from the but Eastern Cape get in. The Eastern Cape girls get an extra 100,000. Now you know what's going to happen. All the other girls on the team are going to say, "Well, what about my province? Why don't they give me 100,000?"
It's a bit unfair. Yeah.
No, it's definitely unfair.
So now,
and also, it's not the responsibility of them to be giving these girls 100,000 rand. Like, let's just call a spade a spade.
Right.
It's not your guys' job. You can just shake their hands, give them a pat on the back. They killed it. Get them some flowers. Rather make a ceremony out of the great work that they did for the vibes of the country and how everybody felt that togetherness. But to give them money is a little bit of an insult to us taxpayers. Let's call it what it is.
It's all just PR. I'm sure they were handed this money with those large checks. You know, those large checks that you're smoking given at a soccer match. Yes,
please.
All part of PR.
Vincent says, government should just sell the Eastern Cape. It is just a piece of shit.
Yo, Vincent.
Where is the lie? Mash, where is the lie in that exact comment? It's the truth. It's just getting worse and worse. Just chop that baby up into like little sections. Give them each, every but other province gets a little bit.
You see how the performance of politics has become more important than the actual job? Like, this guy, Oscar Mabuyane, this premier of the Eastern Cape, it's more important for him to curry favor, as he did with MASH just a couple of minutes ago, than to build a school, make sure that there's water, make sure that the people of his province aren't starving, make sure that he can create the environment that makes jobs so that the people who live in the Eastern Cape aren't constantly fleeing to other provinces, which is what they're doing, because there's nothing for them to do. There is no way for them to earn money. Remember, this is the province that gave birth to Nelson Mandela, Thabo Mbeki.
Nelson Mandela.
You know, that generation of the ANC were from this part of the country, and it's now a toilet. It's a toilet. Someone posted pictures on social media over the weekend of what the Eastern Cape is looking like at the moment. It is disgusting. It's just a big dump. It's a big dump. And this guy's handing out $100,000 to soccer players. Soccer players. Because he's trying to distract us from what he's not doing. And it works sometimes. It worked with MASH just now.
Mm.
So this is why that we never get what we want out of our politicians. Because we don't hold them to account for the right reasons. So, of course, it's great that we celebrate these soccer players. That's 100%. I don't have a problem with that. That's fine. If you want to do that, that's perfect. But do they need to be spending Eastern Cape budget money, which is raised from mostly rates and taxes of people in the Eastern Cape who already have no money? Do they use that money to now pay for a bunch of ladies to be rewarded for winning a soccer tournament? Or do they fix the pipes? And do they fix the roads? And do they stop their cities from degenerating into filth? Well, any of those last few things would obviously be a bigger priority. And I mean, I can't believe I even have to say this, but there we go. There it is. So well done, politicians. You always win when you distract us, and then we fall for your crap, and then you get away with it.
And then we get surprised when you don't do your actual job. It's like, oh my word, why wouldn't they be doing that? But this is just, it's rinse and repeat. It's rinse and repeat. They're just interested in looking good and coming across as, you know, the important guys. They have no business meddling in sports in this, this division.
And then Dr. Robin says something else, which is true. Let's hope they actually get the money. It's unlikely and better if he had spent it on refurbing some of the football fields in this province. You see, Robin lives there, so she knows. I wonder how kids at township schools in the shitty Eastern Cape feel about these ladies who are already on the national team getting some more money when they have to play on thorns and rocks. Anyway, you see where we go.
Yeah.
So, talking about politicians, says Lito, I might have talked about it, but how do you rate Gate and McKenzie? Don't you think these other useless mayors make it look like he's making magic? Well, he's built... he's put in
a bakery.
Yeah, he's put in a bakery, some power infrastructure, some toilets, some plumbing, some basic stuff in the central Karoo district, and he seems to be doing a more or less decent job just because he's actually doing the job of service delivery.
He's doing something. Yeah. I was about to say, let's not get fooled into like, you know, oh my word, Gates McKenzie, this is amazing. He's just doing like entry level stuff that should be done to begin with. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's nice that it's getting done. Let me not sound, you know, like I'm not appreciative. It's great that somebody's actually doing the work, but it's sucky because there's people that should be doing this work.
Our bar is so low. In terms of our politicians, the bar is so low. that just doing the bare minimum is amazing. We're all clapping and twerking for that.
I'm feeling bad that I even brought this story up because, I mean, I really don't want to start the day with talking about politics, but Sanele says the Eastern Cape is my home province. Don't shit on it. What you're saying is no different than when Trump called the entire South Africa a shithole. I will admit, though, I say that from Cape Town. But we are a shithole if there's litter everywhere, and if there's sewage running down the streets, and if there are potholes on every road, and if there's no water when you open the tap, then we are a shithole. Yes. What are we to pretend we're not? So you can get angry with whoever says it, just like, you know, someone got angry with me earlier for criticizing actors. But I'm not the one who made it that way. I'm just saying that's what it is. Hmm. So
And maybe do something about it. Like, if you're really getting that touch, do something about it. Go to your
That should be a wake-up call.
Yeah, put your elbows in the grease. You know, when you get down and dirty, if really, like, you feel that passionate about it. Because we literally are moving away from that stage of just complaining about the government. It's clear that we are on our own as a country. Mm. Now we're in that phase of, okay, cool, solutions. So what are we going to do as the people? Like, that's it. So just start in your own neighborhood, start in your own garden, in your yard, and just keep it moving. Take it from there, and hopefully people will follow. That's literally your only bet. Literally.
Hopefully, yeah. I mean, I have a friend who works in government, and she's just telling me that about 90% of her job is just planning events. They plan events for everything. They plan an event for the opening of a damn toilet. They plan an event for freaking everything. Everything is planned. Everything is staged. This as well, the whole 100,000 rand for the 6 players, all planned, all staged. It's just a PR. It's just a PR campaign. That's all it is. There's nothing more to this.
I saw there was another event that was obviously planned where they were, I think, unveiling a tap. They were unveiling a tap.
Yeah, I saw this.
They had, dude, there was like people, there was a crowd, there was a little, I was just like, what's going on? Oh, and of course it was like 400 million or whatever. And then it just became chaotic because it's like, okay, cool. Where's this 400 million? Then the response was, no, it's for like a borehole system. We dug underneath the ground and we put it deep in there, blah, blah, blah. Guys, this is one singular tap. You are wasting people's times. You are wasting those gogos and those nkulus because you're telling them you finally have water. Yeah, they're in their 80s and 90s. They've been voting for you for how many years now? And now they must celebrate finally having water. You know what?
It's just PR. Man. Yeah. I mean, PR. There's also a park in Johannesburg, actually, where this park has been reopened, I think, about 6 times in the past 3 years. They keep relaunching this damn park and nothing has changed.
And you know why they do that? If you look at the receipt of how much it cost to host this event, it's 400,000 for the tent. It's 2 million for the people on the ground. The catering is 800,000. Dude, those receipts are ridiculous. You sit there and you're like...
Meanwhile, the catering is just sandwiches.
Get a hot dog. Get a hot dog. Hey. Yeah, no, they take us
so here's something interesting. I haven't really paid attention to this. You remember that the DA won the Umgeni region in KwaZulu-Natal? And apparently the DA mayor there, according to Carl, has turned things around in 9 months. It's unbelievable. You see, I don't know that will make the news because, of course, it's the whole media hate the DA, so they don't want to say anything nice about them. If that's true, and I mean, I'd love to hear more details, Carl. I have no reason to doubt you.
Yeah.
But then all it is, and I don't care if it's the DA or the ANC or anybody else, I just love the fact that finally there's something working in a municipality where those people have been used to getting zero. So if that's happening, then that guy is a hero, and they should make movies about him, not stupid nonsense about, giving banyana players 100,000 rand. Anyway, look what we've done. I've opened up this hornet's nest. I promise you no more politics after 7.
No more politics. Please.
We're going to speak to Lisa Raleigh, who is a certified personal trainer, nutrition coach, author, and a life coach who has built an incredible wellness empire over the years. So I think this is something that a lot of people are probably interested in because we're all on this journey of trying to make ourselves better. We're all on this... You know, we're all trying to improve our health, our happiness, our wealth, our lives. And Lisa seems to have discovered quite a few things that maybe will help us to shortcut and get ahead in your life, in my life. And maybe we learn some things with Lisa that will be very helpful. So I think it'd be cool to talk to her. Also, on the season finale of Leadership Books Unpacked, which is one of our shows, it's really been very, very popular. I've got to give massive props to Manda Tsifolaro, who actually unpacks his own newly published book on the last episode of the season. It's called Lead with Super Clarity, How Successful Leaders Achieve Exceptional Results. This is amazing. I'm very, very impressed with all the work that Manda's done over the last couple of months. And you can listen wherever you get your podcasts, proudly sponsored by Hollard Life Solutions and Superlead. And it would be really great if we can have another season of Leadership Books Unpacked. So make sure you go along, you rate it, you like, you subscribe, and you you tell everybody what you think of Leadership Books Unpacked, one of a range of really, really great podcasts on cliffcentral.com.
Yes.
All right. So Lebung and Mash and I are here to look after you. We will not go anywhere. You must not go anywhere either, but you might want to grab a cup of tea or something. And don't stay in the metaverse too long. Come straight back to us. We've got lots to get to. Cliffcentral.com.
Yeah. Cliffcentral.com.